Well, today, man, we are so excited to have our guests with us today. They came down Thursday evening. We're there with us Friday, Saturday at the marriage conference. They're here this morning, going to be ministering. This is some of our closest friends in ministry that my wife and I have had for the last 20 years. Jim and Melissa Patillo. Melissa went to school the same year I came to Bible college. She also came to Bible college, and we were freshmen there together. My wife was already there. She was there a semester before we got there. And the three of us were hanging out all the time, and we're very, very close. And then she had to go and mess up the threesome and go get what? Well, they had to get Jim. Yeah, he had to go out there and bring a fourth person, one of our best buds in the whole world. This is Pastor Jim and Melissa Patillo from Frankfort, Kentucky. I'll tell you what, they have ministered the body of Christ on so many different levels over the years. They've served as senior pastors, as worship pastors, as youth pastors, associate pastors. They've served the body of Christ as evangelists, as conference speakers. They've served in district leadership roles, overseeing the youth ministries and district-wide events. And so they are just very, very qualified to be here. They are some of the most humble people you'll know, very real, very personable today. And I am just really excited to have them for the first time at Destiny Church. I want you to give them a Destiny Church welcome. Bless them today as they come to minister and bring the word. Yes, Pastor Jim and Melissa, come.
Yes. Well, praise the Lord. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Okay, that's three people. I said, how many of you love Jesus this morning? Amen. Amen. I tell you what, folks, I would have driven all the way from Kentucky just to be in that worship service. Wasn't that fantastic and amazing? Let's give your worship team just a wonderful hand. Praise God. Praise God. And you folks, just it's amazing that you guys have, this church has been in existence for only about 6 years. When you consider that 85% of the churches in America have plateaued or are declining, there are only 15% of the churches in America growing at all. And look at what God has done in the past 6 years. Amen. Amen. It's absolutely amazing. And we know that God uses people to accomplish His kingdom objectives upon this earth. And so I greatly appreciate your pastors. I think that they are wonderful leaders. They have proven themselves faithful over many, many, many years of service. And so I think it would be an honor for us all just to stand here this morning. And let's just show honor and esteem to your pastors for their labor of love here at Destiny Church. Amen. 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 The scripture tells us to esteem them highly for their labor's sake. Amen. And so we're living in a society that doesn't show honor much to hardly any people anymore. So whenever we get an opportunity to show honor and show esteem to people, I think we should do so. Amen. Well, this beautiful lady right here behind me is my wife. We have been married for 18 years. And so I know I don't look near that old. I know that. Got married when I was 9. But she's here, and so I want her to say a few words. The greatest achievement and accomplishment of my life was to get this young lady to say, I do, to me. I tell people she was on drugs and on alcohol, drunk. But somehow I got her to say yes. How many of you know favor just ain't fair? Favor just ain't fair. But let's give my wife, Melissa Patillo, a good hand as she comes and says a few words to you.
Good morning, Destiny Church. God is good. He's good and His mercy endures forever. The Bible says from generation to generation that God's mercy endures. And I'm so glad for the mercy of God this morning. I'm glad that God is faithful. And we had a blast this weekend with those of you who came to the marriage retreat. God, I believe, did some things in our lives just to remind us how to honor and appreciate our spouses. And I believe that God did a great work this weekend, and he's going to continue that work in your homes and in your marriages as time goes on. And I do want to give honor to your pastors. And they were laughing over the weekend because in our church, we call our pastor the First Lady. Of course, she happens to be my mother. But I told them that I wanted to honor the pastor and First Lady, and they got a little snicker this weekend. But I do want to honor Pastor Gene and Mel, because they are more than friends to me. They are like my brother and my sister, and they have deposited, even though we're peers in ministry, they've deposited a lot of great spiritual things in my life, and I'm so grateful for them in my life and our five godchildren. You know, their children are our five godchildren. Now, we have no children. We have a little four-legged child. Her name is Kettles Marie. She's a little toy poodle, but we have no children. But we are so grateful for the BB kids in our life. And we love them, and we appreciate them, and we're so proud of them growing. And we're proud of your staff. We know that you honor your pastors here, and we're proud of you for that. I just want to say God bless you, and may the Word richly bless you this morning. And let the seed of the Word of God be planted deep within your heart, that it would grow forth. And in time, in due season, that seed would grow. Grow up into fruit. The fruit would remain all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are going to be taking our text here this morning from Psalm chapter 1. And those of you who have your Bibles, if you will, go ahead and be turning there. I believe that people need to become very accustomed to the Word of God. You need to get familiar with your sword. Amen. But before I do that, I want to just express my appreciation to the hospitality that has been shown to us. It's just been fantastic and tremendous. I'd like to appreciate Sister Kathy here publicly for making all of our copies for our marriage conference. And it was almost a worship conference, as good as Brother Joe did. But Kathy, thank you so much, and thank you for the gift basket that you put in our room, and I greatly appreciate you for that. The hospitalities of your pastors are just amazing. You are very blessed to be a part of Destiny Church. Amen. Well, look with me here at Psalm 1. I looked at your pastor doing worship, and I said the devil could even preach after a worship service like that. But Psalm chapter 1, I spent so much time on a PowerPoint presentation, well, actually a keynote presentation with Mac, and I was even showing that to your pastors. I think it was Thursday night, and I was talking about how great a Mac is and how great Keynote puts all of these presentations together, and I was going through it with them and showing them, and he's like, wow, man, that is really great. The next day, about an hour or an hour and a half before we had we began the marriage conference, my computer crashed. And so that's been a joke all weekend. Of how, you know, Mac is so great, Mac is this and Mac is that, but Mac crashed. So we're just trying to get through it today. And so Pastor Gene, actually, he's helped me today. So we don't have a keynote presentation, but now you know why. And hopefully that you'll have grace on me and realize I just wasn't being lazy. It just crashed on me. Amen. But look with me here at Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man. Somebody say, blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, can you stand to be blessed? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hallelujah. I'm going to be preaching for just a few moments on the thought, living the blessed life. Living the blessed life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, sir, for this awesome privilege that it is to be here among your people today. We thank you, dear God, for this great church that you have just raised up here in this four-state area, Destiny Church. We thank you, dear God, for the leaders. We thank you, God, for the team that you have assembled, each and every one that you've assembled in this place for such a time as this. I pray, dear God, that as I begin to minister to your word, I pray as we sow the seed of God's word into their lives, Father, that it will take root. and that it would just begin to be nourished, and that it would grow and bring forth great fruit in their lives. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I have probably about 90 some odd pages of notes on just the first three verses of Psalm 1, and I'm going to preach them all today. Is that all right? It's a joke. It's a joke. But let's look here. We're going to look expositionally at the Word of God and see something that's very important to us. It starts off by saying, first, blessed. Somebody say blessed. Now, in the original language, it's not in the singular, but it's in the plural. We just see the word blessed, but in the original language, it's not in the singular. It's in the plural. That's why some of you who have an amplified version, you may see the expansion where it says blessed, and then it says happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. Because the word blessed is too big to say in just one word. That's why we see the expansion in the amplified version. So the word blessed here in the original language is not in the singular, but it is in the plural. And in the original, it says this. It says, happy, happy is the man, or oh, the happiness is of the man. Now, how many of you know everybody wants to be happy? Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody's seeking for happiness. That's why they'll go to the TV and they'll purchase things off in an infomercial, because they're looking for something that'll make them happy. They'll record Oprah Winfrey, and they'll be looking for some type of key for that will possibly bring happiness into their life. They'll go to the public library, and they'll check out all the books that they have on happiness. They'll divorce one spouse, and they'll get another spouse looking for a key to happiness. They'll even purchase a Bowflex, thinking that somehow if they use it enough, that's going to bring them happiness. And so what they don't understand is they'll do all of these things, but they won't ever take the time to pick up the Word of God and begin to study it, never realizing that the key to what they're searching for is found within the leather cover of the greatest book that's ever been written, the Bible. Yes, that is the book for me. And so many people are looking for happiness today. They're looking for something that will satisfy them. So they'll turn to drugs. They'll turn to illicit sex. They'll turn to this and turn to that, thinking that maybe if I explore this, it'll bring happiness in my life. Maybe if I explore that, it'll bring happiness in my life. But aren't you glad that the Word of God tells us how to be happy? The Word of God starts off Psalm 1 saying blessed. And in the original language, it means happy, happy is the man. How many of you want to be happy, happy? I don't want to just be happy, but I won't be happy, happy. I think Christians ought to have a smile on their face so big that you could lose a coat hanger in it. Look at your neighbor right now, smile so big you look like you could lose a coat hanger in it. Come on. And why are you happy? Because you know Jesus. Why are you happy? Because your sins have been forgiven. Why are you happy? Because your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why are you happy? Because you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why are you happy? Because even though the economy may be bad, Barack Obama is not your source. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is your source. And it no matter how bad the economy gets, if God Almighty's got to bring a raven with food to you, if God's got to tell you to go to a brook called Cherith where he can provide water for you, God, even if he has to provide a barrel of meal, that if you just be obedient, he'll provide just enough meal for your daily provision, that every time you go back, there's meal and there's meal to spare. Your oil and the cruise will never go out. No matter what the economy's doing, God Almighty is going to provide a way and make a way for his children. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. No matter how bad the economy is, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We ought to be happy, happy. Can somebody say amen in the house of God? So everybody's looking for happiness. And so this man is so happy that you just can't say it in the singular. You got to say it in the plural. And the reason why this man is so happy is because of the multitude and the multiplicity of blessings in his life. He's hazardly happy. He is fantastically fortunate. He's excitingly enviable. He's pleasantly prosperous because of the multitude of blessings in his life. And I want you to know something today, that God Almighty does not dole out his blessings just one at a time, but he pours them out in abundance. Ephesians 1:3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," past tense, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Pastor, I looked up the word "all" in the Greek. You know what it means? All. And the scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," past tense, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that God Almighty hath given, past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life, the physical man, and godliness, the spiritual man. He's already done it. James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." That means every good gift has come from God, and he's not changing. Every perfect gift has come from God, and he's not changing. Folks, John 3:16 even says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." So what do we see here? We see here that God is not your problem. God is a giver. God is generous. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be abundantly blessed. John 16, 23 and 24, Jesus said this. He said, "Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be partially full." No, he said, "Ask and that you may receive, that your joy may be full." Romans 8:32 says this, "If God will freely give us his Son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" Somebody say all things. John 10:10, "The thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life." Somebody say life. "And have it more abundantly." The Amplified Version says, "to the full, till it overflows." Galatians 3:13 and 14 tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith in Jesus Christ. So people pray today and they'll say, "God bless me. God bless me. God bless my children. God bless my finances. God bless my marriage." But you know what, folks? We don't need to pray, "God bless me," because God's already blessed you. He's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's already given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called you to glory and virtue. He's already blessed you with Abraham's blessing. So when we pray, "God bless me," it's an uninformed prayer, because we got to go to the Word of God. And we got to see that we're already blessed. When you woke up this morning, you were blessed. When you got out of your car, you were blessed. When you were eating your Fritos or your Fruit Loops this morning for breakfast, you were blessed. When you pulled up in this church parking lot, you were blessed. When you go to work tomorrow, you got to understand you are blessed. God is good. God is a giver. God has blessed us with so many multiplicity of blessings. That's why we should be the happiest people in the entire world. You see, too many Christians are looking like that they're walking around looking like they kissed their mother-in-law. Got this look on their face. Now, not my mother-in-law, baby. Not my mother-in-law, baby. But too many Christians are walking around unhappy. They're walking around with no joy. And guess what? We go to work and we say this. We go to work like this. And we go in there. "I want you to come to church with me Sunday." "Where do you go to church?" "Destiny Church." "Is it a good church?" "Yeah." If you come to church with me, you can get what I've got. How many of you know nobody wants what you've got when you're living in the mullet drums? Nobody wants what you've got when you're going around looking like somebody done slapped you in the mouth. Nobody wants what you've got, but show me somebody that'll go to work with a smile on their face. Show me somebody that'll go to work with a pep in their step. Show me somebody that go in there with the joy of the Lord because they've been in the presence of God. And I'll show you somebody that'll be a magnet because the world is out there. They're facing marital problems. They're facing financial problems. They're facing all physical problems. And they're looking for something that'll bring joy back into their life. And Christians ought to go into their workplaces with a smile on their face. Not because we don't ever face problems, but because we have a God over our problems, that a God that no matter the tumultuous times in our lives, He can stand up on the boat of our lives and say, "Peace, be still." Can somebody say amen? So we ought to be the happiest people in the world. Why? Because we've been saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We have been resurrected with Christ and made to sit with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. My folks, I've come to tell you today, we ought to be the happiest people in the world because we are the most blessed people in the world. Can somebody say amen? Now, I said all of that to say this. Brother Jimmy, if that's true, if I've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, if I've already been blessed with all things that pertain unto life and godliness, if He's already given me Abraham's blessing is mine. If He's already doing that, why am I not seeing it in my life? And that's where we're going to get today. If all of that is true, if I shouldn't have to pray, bless me, because I'm already blessed, then why am I not seeing it? Why am I not experiencing it? How many of you have ever thought about that before? How many's ever heard preachers talking about financial blessing, but we're wondering why we're not blessed financially? How many's ever heard somebody talking about your marriage being blessed, but you wonder why it doesn't seem like your marriage is being blessed? You see people talking about the multitude of blessings in their life, but you wonder why you're not seeing it in your life. If it is true that God's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing, if it is true that He's already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, if it is true that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, if it is true that Abraham's blessing is mine, then Brother Jimmy, why am I not seeing it in my life? And that's where we're going to get today. You see, he starts here by saying, blessed is the man who. So we see blessed, and we've talked about what that blessed is. But notice here, he qualifies it. He said, blessed is the man. Somebody say the man. Who? Say it again, blessed is the man who. So he is qualifying the man that is blessed. He is qualifying the man that is seeing all of the experience of the multiplicity of blessings that God has already given us. Now notice here, it says blessed is the man who. Now before I get fully into that, I want to say something here. 3 John 2 says this. He says, beloved, I would that you prosper. Somebody say prosper. And be in health even as your soul. Somebody say soul. Prospers. So he said, beloved, I would that you prosper. The New King James Version and the Amplified says this. I prosper in every way, in all respects. Even in the Greek text, it's emphasized. God wants you to prosper in every way. God wants you to prosper in all respects. But notice what he said. He said, even as your soul prospers. And that's our key. You will only prosper to the extent that your soul prospers. Now let me say this. You are a triune being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Where do we see spirit, soul, and body? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about keeping our spirit, soul, and body blameless. We look in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and it talks about spirit, soul, and body right there, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. So we see spirit, soul, and body. And so the word spirit in the Greek is the word pneuma. Somebody say pneuma. The word soul is the word psuche, and the word body is the Greek word soma. And it says here, he said, I would that you prosper in every way. I would that you prosper in all respects. But he said, it's going to be as your soul, your psuche prospers. What is the soul? What does it consist of? It consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Somebody say this, soul equals my mind, my will, and my emotions. So here's what he says. He said, I want you to prosper in every way. I want you to prosper in all respects. But it's going to be as your soul prospers. It's going to be as your mind prospers. It's going to be as your will prospers. It's going to be as your emotions prosper. So God is saying this. I want you to prosper in every way. I want your marriage to prosper. I want you to prosper physically. I want you to prosper financially. How many of you fathers don't want your kids to prosper? What father in here would raise your hand and say, you know what? I do not want my kids to prosper. You wouldn't be much of a dad if you didn't want your kids to prosper. Every daddy in here would say, Brother Jimmy, I want my kids to have a better life than I've ever had. I want them to have a better marriage than I've ever had. I want them to be blessed better financially than I've ever been blessed. I want them to be blessed physically than I've ever been blessed. And so if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? So God wants to bless us in every way. God wants to bless us in all respects. But we read things like that, and then we think God doesn't love us. Somehow, God loves Joe better than He loves me. Somehow, God loves Susie better than He loves me, because I look at Joe's life, and Joe's prosperous, and Joe's got all these things, and Joe's happy, happy. The happiness is of Joe's life. But I look over here at my life. My life is miserable. I love Jesus. I go to church. I'm a tither. I do this and do that. But somehow, maybe God doesn't love me as much as He loves Joe. Because I look at Joe's life and I see the hand of God on Joe. I look at Susie and I see the hand of God on Susie. But I look at my life and it's missing something. Come on, somebody. Am I in somebody's business this morning? We've got to understand that God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But many times we don't see the fullness of what God intends for us because our mind is not prospering. Somebody say, He's talking to you today. See, many people are not experiencing the fullness of what God has for them because their mind is not where it needs to be. How many of you seen people who love God? You might be in here today and you love God with all your heart, but you know your mind ain't where it needs to be. All we think about is negativity. All we think about is maybe defeat. Well, our mind is just not where it needs to be. You love Jesus, but your mind's not right. But notice what it says in our text. It says, blessed is the man who. Somebody say, the man who. The article the tells us that the writer's talking about a certain kind of man. The man who obeys the instructions of this passage. And it says this. It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So the blessed man is first characterized by what he does not do. The man who is happy, happy, is the man who is first characterized by what he does not do. The man who is experiencing the plurality of the blessings, the happiness is the man who is first characterized by what he does not do. Which brings us back to the importance of the mind. Because it says here, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you fill your mind with ungodly counsel, you're not going to prosper in your life. Come on, somebody. I didn't say you wouldn't make money. Because if money fixed it, there'd be no billionaires committing suicide. Scripture tells us that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That's why you can see people that have everything. They seem like they have it all. But they're divorcing right and left. They're depressed. They're committing suicide. Hollywood stars who have money and fame are going in and hanging themselves or taking a gun and blowing their brains out. Why? Because they have all the stuff that the world has to offer, but they are missing something on the inside. My friends, I can tell you something with a surety. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the toys. You can have all the trinkets. You can have everything that the world has to offer, but until you have Jesus, you have nothing at all. Until you have Jesus, you will be missing something. You'll know just the ducks aren't lining up. A is not connecting with B. One is not connecting with two. And so you look around and you see somebody that maybe has less than you, but they got a smile on their face. Maybe they don't have as many trinkets as you do, but they've got the joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you wonder why they have it. It's because they have what really matters, a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so listen, though, there are many Christians who love God, that God has this plethora of things for them, but they're not accessing it because their mind is not where it needs to be. But let's look here for just a moment. Let's look, because it says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's look at this. The word walk in the Hebrew metaphorically means to go along with or follow a course of action. Counsel means viewpoint or way of thinking. Ungodly carries two ideas. Loose with reference to morals. That means without godly restraint or controls. And negative toward God, without him as an anchor or a controlling factor. So it says here that the person, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, happy, if you want to have the happinesses that God's talking about here at the very beginning of Psalm 1, it says that there's certain things that you must not do. You must not go along with and follow the course of action and the viewpoint and the way of thinking of those who are loose with reference to morals and those who are negative toward God without him as an anchor or a controlling factor. Young people, I feel like the Spirit of the Lord wants me to talk to you for a moment, because many times what we'll do, we're very influenced by our surroundings. We go into school, and here's the thing. You're in church here for just a matter of hours, but who spends the most time with you? It's probably your friends at school, your classmates at school. So you go into school and everybody's talking about doing this and everybody's talking about doing that. The world is sharing their counsel, the ungodly, those who are loose with their morals. They don't have God as an anchor, or they don't have God as a controlling factor in their life, but they're loose with their morals. They're without godly restraint or controls. Their philosophy is, if it feels good, do it. And so it doesn't matter what mama says. It doesn't matter what the church says. It doesn't matter what pastor says. It doesn't matter what God says. If it feels good, just do it. I'm talking to you today, and I'm telling you that God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV, God said, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. But you've got to understand, if you're going to have God's plan, you've got to say no to the devil's plan. If you're going to have God's plan for your life, you've got to say no to the world's plan. You've got to say no to the counsel of the ungodly and say yes to the counsel of God. People who are loose with their morals, everything goes. My wife is a cosmetologist and worked with a girl in Oklahoma City, and this was her philosophy. She was lost, and here was her philosophy. She said, how can you know if you're compatible with somebody until you sleep with them first?
You see, that's the world's philosophy. How do you know you're going to be compatible in marriage until you live with them first? But here's the facts. The facts state, according to a study, that those people who live with each other first have a greater chance for their marriage not to succeed than those people who do not live with each other first. So listen, everybody wants their marriage to prosper. Everybody, I've never seen anybody that says, you know what, I want my marriage to fail. I want my marriage to go under. So everybody wants their marriage to prosper, but what they're doing is many people are going about it the wrong way. They're following the counsel of the ungodly. How do you know you're compatible until you sleep with them first? What does God say? God says to abstain. God's not keeping sex from you. God is keeping sex for you. God is not against sex. God invented sex. He told Adam and Eve, he said, go and replenish the earth. You can't do that without having sex. But God is saying no to the world's viewpoint. God doesn't want you to get ungodly soul ties with the world out there to where eventually God has a spouse for you that'll blow your mind. God's got a spouse for you, somebody perfect for you that just fits with you just intricately, and they're the greatest love. You'll think they're your soulmates once you meet them. That's why you don't need to mess around with Jerk Joe, and you don't need to mess around with Sleazy Sally, and you don't need to mess around with promiscuous Pam. You don't need to do all of that. What you got to do is you got to set your feet in God's word and say, come hell or high water, I'm following God's plan and God's way for my life, because God's plan is better. Somebody say, you got to just say no. James 3:13 through 18 says this. It contrasts worldly wisdom with godly wisdom. It says this. It says that worldly wisdom is earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. You can't take everybody's advice. Some of you are facing situations right now, and you're facing decisions in your life right now. And God, and you've been going to some people that may not be the people you need to be going to for advice. Can I tell you something? Your spirit knows more than your mind does. Your spirit's recreated. The Holy Spirit lives within you. He lives within your spirit. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So that means your spirit, man, knows more than your mind does. How many of you guys have ever faced a situation where your mind told you to do something, but your spirit said, you better back the truck up? And so you went ahead and you did what your mind said to do anyway and messed up. How many's ever done it? Raise your hand. Have I got any witnesses in the house? How many of you people have faced a decision where your mind told you to do something, but you just backed up because the Spirit said, don't you do that. Don't you go there. Don't you make that investment. Don't you buy that house. Don't you buy that car. And you listened to the voice of the Spirit, and you backed away from that deal, and you found out later that it was God Almighty directing you, because the thing that you was going to do would have been the worst mistake of your life. Your spirit knows more than your mind does. That's why we've got to be spirit controlled. You can't let your emotions control you. You just can't let your mind control you. Sometimes your will, there's a pull between your with your will, between your spirit and your soul, man, and to where there's something you want to do right. You want to follow God. You want to make the right decisions, but there's something else over here that's pulling you on this side, trying to get you to do something else. My friends, we've got to be spirit controlled. We've got to let the Spirit of God call the shots. We've got to say no to the counsel of the ungodly and say yes to the counsel of God's almighty word. And he's saying here, if you do that, you will be blessed. Now listen, how's the wisdom of the world communicated? TV. You can get on TV today and you can hear a lot of viewpoints that are anti-God and anti-scripture. There are friends that you can listen to, and they're anti-God or anti-scripture. You can listen to music that's anti-God and anti-scripture. Now let me say this to you. Satan's mode of attack is this. You find it in his name, devil. It's a Greek word, diabolos. It's a compound Greek word consisting of two words, dia and balo. dia meaning through, and balo meaning to throw. So we see his mode and his method of attack. What he does is this. He will attack your mind over and over again with thoughts and suggestions. And his mode of attack is he'll keep hitting and keep hitting and keep hitting until he makes penetration in your life. It's just like if we took a steel ball right now and started throwing it against that wall. Before long, if we hit the same spot enough times, how many of you know we'll make penetration? And that's why the devil keeps after you. That's why you can't just listen to any music that you want to listen to, folks. That's why you can't just listen to any TV show you want to listen to. That's why you can't just read any periodical that you want to read, because we've got to guard our gates, our high gate, our ear gate. We've got to be guardians of the gates. We've got to guard what we allow our eyes to see and what we allow our eyes to read. We've got to guard what we allow our ears to hear. Why? Because the devil is after your mind. And so that's why at the very beginning, God said, I've got happy for you. I've got happinesses for you. I've got a plan for you. I've got joy for you. I've got love for you. I've got peace for you. I've got long suffering for you. I've got gentleness for you. I've got meekness. I've got temperance for you. I have all of these things, but there is an opposing force. There is somebody that wants to get you to do other things. And at the very beginning, God is saying, I've got these things for you, but you've got to yield to me. And so what do? We fill our minds with all kinds of stuff. We fill our eyes with all kinds of stuff. And then we wonder why there's something that's just wrong in our lives. Something's not happening in our lives. It's because the enemy has made penetration. He's hit you over and over again with certain thoughts. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us this. It tells us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because if we do not, it says this. It says if we don't take a thought captive, then it becomes an imagination. And if we don't take the imagination, cast it down, then it becomes a stronghold in our life. You see, the enemy is reinforced. The enemy is strengthened. The enemy becomes entrenched because we allow our minds to go a certain way. And so we have a thought, and instead of casting or taking the thought captive, we just go ahead and chew on it a little bit. We begin to meditate upon it a little bit. We begin to imagine it a little bit. And when we do, then that imagination becomes a stronghold. The enemy becomes entrenched in our lives. But we've got to do what the Apostle Paul tells us to do. He said first to cast down or take every thought captive. Somebody say captive. When you take a thought captive, think about this. Captive, captivity. Captivity. When I was looking at that word, Pastor Gene, I was thinking immediately about a prisoner of war. Does that fit with the context of 2 Corinthians 10? Yeah, because he mentioned stronghold. What is a stronghold? It's a place where the enemy is entrenched. But he says this. He said the enemy will not become entrenched in your mind. Will not become entrenched there. If you first take every thought captive. So, in other words, we take prisoners of war. And what do with a prisoner of war? You take that thought. Oh, you know she looks good. You know you want to get with her. When the best thing ever happened to you is sitting at home, taking care of your 27 kids. You know you want to go ahead and lie about that transaction. You know that money looks good. Think about the boat you could buy with that money. You see the thoughts come to your mind. What you got to do is you got to take the thought captive. You got to take that thought a prisoner of war. And then what do? You begin to torture it. You torture the prisoner of war. You torture it with the word of God. You say, it is written. You torture it with the word of God. You torture it with prayer and begin to pray into that thing and begin to pray against that thing. We got to torture those thoughts to where they'll say, if you just let me go, I promise I'll never bother you again. If you just let me go, I won't mess with you anymore. Please, if you just let me go, we've got to torture those things. And guess what we do with prisoners of war? We also starve them to death. And so what do? Whatever the thought is, we begin to starve it. We begin to starve it. We quit looking at the pornography. We quit watching those shows. We quit reading that literature. We quit going out to eat with the secretary. We change our lifestyle. We begin to starve those things. And guess what? When we do that, the enemy will not build a strong hold in our life. The enemy will not be entrenched in our lives. And too many people love God, but they're not living victorious lives spiritually. Why? Because they're not doing what I'm talking about. We're not taking every thought captive. We're not casting down imaginations. And trust me, if you don't, it'll become a stronghold in your life. And you look, and why do they have joy? Why do they have peace? Why do they have happiness? Why do they have this and they have that? It's because our mind is not prospering. Come on, somebody. And I want to bring this out to you. Listen. If you are here today and you don't know God, you need to, and here's why. Notice in our first verse, it says the ungodly man begins by walking. Somebody say walking. Next, we see him standing. Say standing. Then we see him sitting. Say sitting. So first, he's just minding his own business. Somebody said something. Okay, I'm just following their advice. So he begins walking. But then we see him standing. So now it's not just following somebody else's advice. Now it's his advice. He's standing in it. He's established in it. And then we see him sitting. Now notice something here. Walking speaks of energy, speaks of vitality, speaks of youth. Standing speaks of adulthood. We're standing on our own two feet. Sitting speaks of retirement, speaks of old age. He begins in youth, becomes an adult, and then sits in old age. If you're not a Christian, can I speak to you this morning? You may be here and you may be just following the world's advice. But if you follow that advice and if you don't turn, you're not going to experience what God has for you. God's plan is better. God's life for you is better. It ain't about that money. It ain't about the boats. You have all of that. Some of you have that now and you're still not satisfied. But if you don't stop and turn to God, you keep on walking. And what happens then, you become established in it. And then, if you don't turn from God, then you begin to sit in the seat of the scornful. You go just from following advice to now you're sitting in the seat of the people who scorn the things of God. So you've got to turn. You've got to turn. Because sin will take you down. Sin will take you down. There's a downward progression. Walking, standing, sitting. Sin will take you down. Sin does not have it for you. That illicit relationship that you're in, it's not. It don't have it for you. That lying and cheating and stealing and double dealing, that don't have it for you. All those things that you're doing out in the world, that don't have it for you. It's not there. The blessed life is not there. The happy life is not there. The happiness is that God has for you is not there. What you're doing is progressing further and further in sin till you get to the place that you'll reach a point where you begin to scorn the things of God and begin to mock the things of God. God Almighty is crying out to you today, turn to me. Turn to my way. Turn to my plan. Turn to my life. Let me bless you. I gave you my son Jesus. I've given you everything I can give you. Turn to me. My life is better. Too many people are living their lives, and sadly, at the end of their life, at the conclusion of it, they realize, is this all there is? Is this it? I've reached the top of my company. But is this it? I've got $1 million in the bank, but is this it? I've got the boats and the Mercedes and the Jaguar and the this and that. I own houses and I own lands, but is this it? Sadly, at the end of their lives, they realize they've lived an entire life missing what true living was all about. But God Almighty is crying out to you today in His love. Turn to me. Turn to my plan. Turn to my way. Turn to my love. Turn to all of the riches of what I have for you that the world could never give you. Will you turn to me? That's His question this morning. Every head bowed. And please, no one looking around. And I'm not going to embarrass you, friend, but I know I am talking to you. The Holy Spirit is churning within me, dealing with your heart. Dealing with your heart. And God wants you to turn to Him today. He wants to make your life better. He wants to give you something the world could never give. If you say, Brother Jimmy, as you were preaching, the Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart. I want to turn to God. I want to say yes to God and no to the world. I want you to quickly just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. God bless you. There are others. God bless you. God bless you. I want God's way, Brother Jimmy. Is there anyone else? God's plan is not to harm you. We just sang a song, God's good. God is good. God is good. And we've got it in our mind that somehow if I give my life to Jesus, my life ain't gonna be good. He's gonna make me miserable. That's a lie from the enemy. God has so much better for you, but you've got to turn to Him this morning. Is there anyone else? Anyone else in this building? Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? Hallelujah. God bless you. Anyone else this morning? I promise I will not embarrass you. Anyone else? I want us to pray right now. I want you to pray with me. And I want you to mean it from the depths of your heart. And I believe that you do. But you've got to mean this prayer for it to work. You've got to mean it from your heart. And I want us to pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I am a sinner. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your generosity in giving your Son Jesus to die in my place. Thank you for your word that has shown me the path I need to take and the path I need to reject. I receive your Son Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I believe He is the Son of the living God. I believe He died for me
And I believe that he rose again. So forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me new. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise offering for it this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many can attest to the truth? Brother Jimmy, I had it all. But once I come to Jesus, I found out what true living was. Can somebody say amen? God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Gene.
Amen. How many were blessed this weekend? Were you blessed this weekend by the ministry of Pastor Jim and Melissa? Yeah? Great. Today, we're going to take up an offering for them and bless them. And let me tell you this, as our ushers are getting ready to do that. We had the marriage retreat this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and we made $0. Matter of fact, we go in the hole when we do that, okay? Even though we're charging just the minimum amount we can to help you get there because we want to keep the cost down. I know a lot of people, especially some of our young families, it's a struggle to come up with that money to be there. And so we try to keep the cost down as low as possible so everyone can attend who wants to attend. And in that, we are able to have them minister this weekend. We're going to give them a love offering. We're going to bless them. Matter of fact, we're going to bless them above and beyond what they should ever imagine. I believe today we should bless them. How many know God expects us to bless those who come and bless us? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Yes, we believe that. Yes, we do. Okay. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to take up an offering for them. Everything that comes in today, 100%, is going to go to them. Today, I want you just to bow your, before you do that, I want you to bow your heads where you're at. I guarantee you, let me just tell you this. I know them personally as your pastor. I wouldn't say this if I did not mean it. These are people of integrity, and everything you sow is going into good ground, okay? And God's going to bless you for that. I know that personally. In fact, let me just tell you this. He didn't tell me to tell you this, but I want to tell you this. I know personally they have served in several positions, but recently they have gone back to Frankfort, Kentucky to help serve her father and his father-in-law and their church there as they're getting old and getting close to retirement age or needing somebody else to come along. So he's come along, and he can be pastoring several hundred people. They've had churches offer them positions with big churches, whether it be senior pastors or associate pastors or some mega churches. They've had a lot of positions, but they've chosen to go back and just to serve and honor their parents. I mean, honoring your parents, that God's going to honor you. This is a very good key to life, that we honor our parents as they get into their age. They need honor, they need help, and so they move back here to honor their parents. And so I guarantee you, everything that comes in today is going to be a blessing to them, okay? They're not making a big salary at a mega church right now at this point in their life. And so everything that comes in, he makes money off of traveling and doing conferences. They had a conference last week, and about 30 minutes before he left, the pastor had a stroke, and they had to cancel the conference. And so that's all income that they used to live on. So I know today we can really be a blessing to them if we really have a chance. So I want you to bow your heads. Father, what would you have us to give today? Now may we be quick and obedient to give that number, or whatever the sacrifice it may be. God, we want to bless them. We want to bless them big today. Help me today, God, as we are obedient in doing this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just go ahead and pass that out. As we're doing that to you today, let me just remind you tonight the importance of our leadership meeting. Like I said earlier today, this is the last one before school is out, and then we'll have school out and be off at summertime. And so we're going to be covering some things tonight that you need to know if you're in leadership. Please, please, if you're in preschool, if you're nursery, if you're in small groups, if you're in whatever department you're in, make sure you're here today to meet with your leaders tonight. And that won't take a very long time. We're going to get to it right away and dismiss you right away quickly to your classes, and then you'll have a chance to meet with your leaders. Just come tonight. Honor those leaders. Honor their leadership as we continue to grow. How many know we're growing? Isn't that a good thing? Yes, it's great. So we need more leaders. Let me tell you this one more time as we're doing it. How many know we'll never outgrow our leadership? It's a principle. You've heard me teach you this before, and I would tell you this time and time again. Our church will never outgrow its leadership. If we spike up to 500 people, but we only have leadership for 300, what happens?
our numbers are always dip back down to 300 people. So we must continually be adding leaders. We must be adding more people in our ministry departments and leading. So if you're not serving in the area and you want to serve, this is a good time to come tonight and to sit in this meeting and maybe sit in a ministry department that you would like to know more about and see if you can serve in an area, okay? So this is for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Yeah, we need to serve. We need to serve together. If you attend here on a regular basis, we want you to serve. All right. Stand on your feet this morning. What a blessed weekend. I tell you, I'm just so full spiritually. What a great weekend. Let's just thank the Lord in advance. God, we just thank you right now, God, for what you've done this weekend in our marriages, Lord, in our homes. Lord, we thank you today what you've done here in this house. We thank you, God, we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed nation. But God, we want to be people who follow the counsel of the godly. God, may we value your word. May we value the counsel of the godly more than anything else. May it lead us. May your word become a lamp unto our feet or a light unto our path. God, as your word illuminates to us, God, as it leads us, God, and we today are going to be walking blessing. I believe there's blessing coming to this house, Lord. Blessing coming to your people as we continue to grow. Learning, Lord, it's about giving. That's where it's at. It's giving, Lord, of our time, our talent, and our treasure to you, God, that we unlock the key to living a blessed life. Lord, I thank you today, Lord, for all this word that was given to us this weekend. And we take that, Father, and apply it to our life. And God, go out of this place blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.